Okay, so we have the beginning of relationships now. We've had the beginning of a lot of things in Genesis 1 and 2. And as the creation was, all of its beauty, the creatures that were made, the water, the sky, darkness and light, everything was peaceful and absolutely perfect. But there was no one to enjoy it, and God wanted to share it. He created it for a purpose. The word generations that's referred to in Genesis 1, one of the translations for that is families. So we have the families of the creatures, the family of birds of the air, the family of mammals, the family of insects, of fish. They all represent family groups. And now, oh, and then I think it's just so exciting that God created his own irrigation system and that man could learn from that. God brought the water up from underneath the ground to keep it wet and moist. I thought that was just so good. If we'd all just follow God's pattern, we'd probably be even smarter than the way we do things sometimes on our own. Everything that is of value, we take from God, the God of creation and his wisdom. So now we come to the generation of humans, the family of humanity. It's interesting, and you've probably heard this before, but I was reminded of it this week, that if we took all the ingredients that God used from the dirt to form man, the cost would be about $2.98, with inflation maybe $3.05 by now. But it certainly doesn't seem very impressive that that's what it cost. Except that God formed man out of that $3.05 dust and the chemicals that were in the ground. He did that for man's enjoyment and for his fellowship. It's interesting, too, I thought, that God had to kind of tell man that he was alone. We've been telling him things ever since, haven't we? But he chose to take woman from the man's side. And I'm sure you've heard the famous quote by Matthew Henry, but I couldn't really ignore it here. God didn't take her from his head to be his superior, or from his foot to be his inferior, but from his side to be equal with him and to walk alongside him. And when Adam saw her, it says God formed Adam and fashioned woman from him. Adam said, "At last, it's what I've been looking for." When he was naming all those animals and when he was naming all those plants, he kept thinking, "Boy, there's nothing here that really, really gets to me." But it took God's creation, and God had the plan all along to have woman to be fashioned for man. I heard another translation that what Adam said was, "Wow, this is good." And so God placed a condition on man and woman. He did that for a reason. He didn't want a robot who would say, "Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I'll do what you want me to do. Yes, I'll do what you say." He wanted someone who was going to respond in loving obedience. Obedience is the key here. And so when he said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," he put that condition on because he wanted to know that man respected him enough and loved him enough to be obedient. Unfortunately, when he created man in his own image, man had the right to choose and did not choose correctly. Now, there was a point when I was very kind of young in the Lord and young as a child, I kept thinking, "Well, if I'd have been Eve, I wouldn't have done that." But then I watched myself for a little while and said, "Yes, you would have." Because you would have wanted that, whatever it was. We have a curiosity in us. And so Eve had that. Now, there was the point of the serpent, but we'll get to that in a minute. As I did this study and as I read the chapters, one amazing reality continually went through my head. God was totally aware of the consequences of creating men and women in his likeness. He knew. $3.05, $2.98, that wasn't very expensive, but he knew what it was going to cost him. He knew where this was going to go. He wasn't blind to what the reality was going to be. And yet, for the sake of the relationship, he moved forward, knowing there would be sin and a need for redemption and reconciliation. When they chose, when Eve chose to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree, everything changed. In chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, there is innocence, perfection, perfect fellowship with God and man, peace, beauty, everything good. Chapter 3 of Genesis is the pivotal point of the human race. It is the pivotal point of God's relationship with man. Because when we get to chapters 4 to 11, this is what's there: jealousy, anger, murder, lying, wickedness, corruption, rebellion, and judgment. For that one chapter where sin entered the world, that's the reality of what came. The choice to sin rather than to be obedient, the choice changes everything. Now there had to be some kind of blood sacrifice because Adam and Eve recognized their nakedness. They tried to cover it with fig leaves, but that didn't work. And so God said, here, take the skin of an animal. So there was the first blood sacrifice to cover their sin. God created the blood sacrifice. And it continued all through the Old Testament, the sacrificing of goats and sheep, perfect animals for the sin of man. Now, we can't ignore the serpent. Where did he come from, and why did Satan choose to use him? There's no answer in the scriptures to that. The serpent was not to be feared to begin with. Eve spoke directly to him. He came right up to her, and she had no fear of the serpent itself. It was created as all the other animals, but Satan decided that that was the method he was going to use to get to the heart of man. And it's enough to know that Satan did use him. Satan used the serpent, and there was a curse on the serpent, and there's a curse on man. If you want to read more, it's listed in your about the fall of Satan and how that came about. It's listed in your study in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 if you want to read more about the fall of Satan. Righteousness. Now there was none except in God himself. It's innocence maintained in the face of temptation. The very last verse that's listed in our study sums up the need that was brought to fruition by sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." God knew the sacrifice that it was going to take. It was going to take his only son to bring redemption and reconciliation to the world, and yet for the joy that was set before him. He went on with his plan of creation, and he went on with his plan of redemption. Righteousness is innocence maintained in the face of temptation. We cannot have that without a Savior. It is impossible. We are not equipped to have that righteousness, but we become the righteousness of God in him through his sacrifice, his blood sacrifice that began way back. Who would have thought that by Genesis 3 we would be in the New Testament with Calvary and the resurrection? It doesn't seem that it could be possible that right there we have the whole plan. And yet we do. And we are so grateful for the plan. And every time we choose to sin, which hopefully is less and less in our lives, we can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his Son, our Savior. J. Vernon McGee shared an anonymous poem that I'm going to close with. It states the difference between the way man sees things and the way God sees things. He prayed for strength that he might achieve. He was made weak that he might obey. He prayed for health that he might do greater things. He was given infirmity that he might do better things. He prayed for riches that he might be happy. He was given poverty that he might be wise. He prayed for power that he might have the praise of men. He was given infirmity that he might feel the need for God. He prayed for all things that he might enjoy life. He was given life that he might enjoy all things. He had received nothing he asked for, all that he hoped for. His prayer was answered. He was most blessed. Obviously, the way we see things is so different from the way God sees things. But when he brings things into your life, now that you're a believer, now that you're walking with him, recognize even the infirmity, even the sickness, even the weakness, all that comes from him out of his love for you so that he can create the righteousness of God in you, which we are so far away from on our own. Salvation comes when you and I take our proper place as sinners before a mighty God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for how you've made us free from sin. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your creation. God, we owe everything to you, and we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.